I paid her $20 for that. That's why she did that. How are you guys doing? Are we all situated? Okay, so I need to do some, get these check boxes checked off. The youth service upstairs, I just want to welcome, tell you guys what's going on. The youth service is like packed, okay? It's like 30 students. In the summer, we had like 3 because a lot of people go on vacation. And we have a student preaching. Isn't that cool? Come on, give the Lord a big hand. Raise your hand if you grew up in this church and you went to the junior high ministry. I just want to see if you. Yeah, yes. Anyone? Yes. Flint, okay, we graduated 10 people into Lifeline. And I was like nervous. I was like, oh gosh, is there going to be more people? And then I thought there would be 5, and now like last Friday, there was 17. Come, can we give the Lord another? last youth plug. Lifeline, okay, our high school. Come on, Lifeliners, where are you? Where are you at? Come on, give me some love. All right, that was not bad. What happened was that I was just passing by, minding my own business, and these guys were just singing, and I think some of it was worship songs, and maybe they were just singing, period. And it was beautiful. You got to ask them about it. If you missed out, don't miss a meeting. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We ask for the fire of the Holy Spirit to penetrate our hearts. God, we ask that we won't be those hearts that are where the seed is thrown and it falls on the path, rocky soil, or places where the weeds will just choke the seed, but on good soil. God, we pray for every heart that you prepare them for revival. That there will be a spirit of transformation, a spirit of repentance in our church. That, God, we would reach new heights. And as a church, Lord, we would be unified like never before. And we'll do the work of the ministry. In Jesus' name, may the spirit of love flow in this room so that we would fulfill the great commandment. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 30. Or your smartphones, and you can also follow along with me on the PowerPoint. Okay, last week, I wasn't here, but I listened to the audio. We talked about the Shawshank Redemption, am I right? Were you guys, raise your hands if you're here last week? Shawshank Redemption, okay? And it was Breaking the Chains, message by Pastor Dennis, okay? And in that movie, I vividly remember, and Pastor Dennis talked about this, this guy's like, he's not guilty. And he didn't do the crime, he's totally innocent. And he breaks out of prison, right? And I love the part where he like totally wades in the sewer water and the debris. We'll just call it debris, okay? And for 500 yards, he's closer and closer to freedom. And it's actually a symbol of Christ, right? He's like Christ was innocent, and then he's like in the mud and he takes the sins of the world. You guys see the connection? Amen. And I think Pastor Dennis's sermon was just like breaking the chains and being free. And then Evange spoke. Can we give another round of applause to women preachers? Come on, people. And Evangeline talked about worship and how powerful it was. I think it was Jehoshaphat. Where's Evange? Where are you, Evange? There. Oh, she's in the back. Never mind. And what they did was they put the army in front. And they begin worshiping and they begin to win the battle. And you're beginning to see as a congregation how important worship is. And in my sermon today, I'm going to try to highlight it just like even more, okay? And we'll try to connect the dots. But in our sermon today, it's all about finding strength in the dark times. I'm going to talk about David's life and what happens to him. But before we do that, go ahead and turn to your neighbor, okay, and ask them, are you more of a feeler person or are you more of a thinking person, okay? Feeling or thinking. Remember the Myers-Briggs test that you might have taken at the workplace? Go ahead and turn to your neighbor. Go ahead and just talk up a storm, okay, and ask them, are they more thinking or feeling, okay? Thank you so much for your participation. It's great. Love this. It's all part of the sermon, okay? Now, we'll just do it one more time, okay? Now this might be controversial, so no one get mad, okay? Ask your neighbor if men are more emotional or women, okay? No one stone me, okay? No one stone me. Go ahead and do that right now. Turn to your neighbor and ask them, are men more emotional or women are more emotional? Here we go. So I heard a vote for men. Men are more emotional. Generally speaking, we're not pinpointing anybody. Catherine has a big smile on her face. I think she thinks that men are more emotional. Yes? Men are more emotional? She's closing her eyes. I don't know what that means. Christina knows that Byron's emotional, okay? Okay, now before I talk about today's passage, let's give some background information. We're talking about the story of David, okay? And we're in 1 Samuel 30, chapter 30, but this is what some of the things that are happening before this scene in Ziklag. Saul is pursuing David, and the reason why he's pursuing David is because David is like Goliath killer. He's giant killer. David is wiping out armies left and right. Every assignment that Saul gives him, he's doing such a great job. And everyone, the women are singing, oh, Saul has slain his hundreds, and David his 10,000s. Something along those lines, if I'm misparaphrasing that. And so this jealousy in Saul is just like rising like crazy. And we could say that, yeah, Saul is like, he's an emotional guy, okay? And the Lord has left Saul, and then the Lord, through Samuel, anointed David to be king. Now, David, he's running from Saul left and right. There's a few chapters about him being in a cave and him like having the ability to kill Saul, but he doesn't do it because he doesn't want to touch the Lord's anointed. So help me read this passage. On the count of three, you guys all see it? David's so frustrated that this is what he decides to do. Go ahead and read that on the count of three. One, two, three. Oh, sorry, my bad. Wrong clicker. You good? One, two, three, go. Thank you so much for helping me out. The key words in that phrase is David thought to himself. This actually turns out to be a really bad choice. And the reason why is because after he goes to the enemy territory of the Israelites, he finds himself submitting to the king of the Philistines. And he's like he's aligning himself with that king. And they're about, in this one chapter, they're about to fight the Israelites. And David says to him, hey, like, you know what I can do, me and my 600 men? Like, let's fight. And the guy like almost tells him, yeah, no problem. But the commanders remember what David did to Goliath, and say no. And it turns out to be God's grace that he didn't go into battle, fighting against his own countrymen. And sometimes when we think to ourselves, sometimes that's not the best solution. Can I get an amen? So Saul faces the Philistines, and David and his men almost join in the battle. The Philistine rulers force David and his men to withdraw, and we take it away in 1 Samuel 30, 1 and 2. They come back from that battle, having not fight. They didn't fight against the Israelites. And then can you guys help me read? Hold on. On the count of three, you guys good? One, two, and three. Okay, stop right there. Women, I need you to be strong, and let's show the men what's up. On the count, just continue from right there, and one, two, three, go. Okay, let's get some perspective. Are you guys laughing at the women? No, right? Let's get some perspective. They're coming back, and they didn't participate in battle, and you just read it yourselves. They find out that the place is burned down. The place is burned down, and all the women are taken. The kids, can you guys just put yourself, so whenever you read the Bible, you put yourself in the character's shoes, and you think to yourself, like, how would I react? What would be going through my mind? And David is at his lowest point in his life. Everything that happened to him before this, it doesn't matter. Because his property is burned down, his wives, two wives are taken, all his kids. I might be jumping a little bit, but later on in the passage, it tells us that his men want to stone him. Because their wives also have been taken. Recently, you guys know that in California, there's been Northern California fires. And 5,000 structures were burned to the ground. And we see in happening in the U.S. is God's hand of protection leaving our country. And as you see this, like, us kicking God out of the schools. You see God's, the Ten Commandments, and et cetera, et cetera. And God says, okay, you don't want me to be in your country, so here's, I'm leaving it. And California is really liberal. California's a state that we sin against God. So if you can imagine, put yourself in someone's shoes that lost everything, all your memories of wedding pictures, your all your albums, your photos, computers, everything, it's devastating. And David was devastated. Let's move on. Help me read again. Verses 3 and 4. Men, can you help me? On the count of three, one, two, three, go. Oh, wait, my bad again. I keep forgetting. One, two, three, go. In our culture, is it okay for men to cry? How about this section? Just yell at them. No? I was talking to the feast men, okay? I warned them in advance so that I would use their as examples. But all of them were saying, in our country, as little boys and teenagers, whatnot, you don't cry. And you're trained that way culturally because it's not cool to cry. And you got to be a man. You got to be Rambo. You got to be James Bond. You got to be anyone in your, when you were growing up, like John Wayne. That's old school. Anyone, old schoolers, John Wayne? Where's There you go. Awesome. And so here you see a perfect picture of Hebrew men and the right response. These guys are crying. And it's totally okay because all of them were crying and David was crying. They were weeping out loud until they had no strength left to weep. It's so powerful. So we're going to talk about that. Let me just move on, but just remember this picture, okay? Let's move on. So let's recap what's going on. All 600 men found their houses burned to the ground. Their response, they wept. They didn't suppress their emotions. They expressed their emotions, okay? I want to highlight that because some men don't know how to express emotions, okay? Their families are taken. Men are bitter in spirit. Response, they want to stone David. What did David lose? He lost his national identity because he's in the Philistine territory. He lost his property, wives and kids, and the confidence of his men. Now, before I tell you what's next, put yourself in this situation, okay? Turn to your neighbor and ask them, what would you do? Yes, look, you could be spiritual and say, yeah, I would just totally be praying, or I would worship, okay? Go ahead and ask them and just tell, see if you can get a really good, like, organic response. Go ahead and do that right now. Okay, I'm going to get some responses from the audience because I have to have fun. Sam, how you doing? Sam, what would you do in this situation? I'm going to ask Evander, someone over here. Just get ready, okay? Yes.
Let myself go, you know, if I need to lament, and just get over it and just regroup.
Can you guys give him a big hand, a round of applause? He's so honest. Okay, Sarah. Just imagine, okay? You're gonna. This is help. You're helping me with this sermon. What would you do?
I'd cry.
Okay, excellent. Now I know. I hope it. And some of these things never happen to you, but in different times in our lives, these things have happened to us. And my sermon is okay. What do we do? And sometimes we'll be emotional, which is good. Sometimes, like men, we think logically, okay, and then we try to figure it out, right? Men like to fix things, right? And so, but let's look at what David did. But let me just ask you a really big question. What's two things he didn't lose? Just shout it out. What do you think? What's two things he didn't lose? Excellent. He didn't lose his faith. I'm going to show you in verses 5 and 6, but here's a picture of what faith is. And what I'm showing you this picture is because God is increasing our faith in this congregation. God is stretching our faith, and he's putting you into some situations where we require you to make the right response. And we can go back into our old life and try to figure things out, or we can put our faith in God. And in this picture, there's a guy, and this is the definition of faith. He's like saying, yeah, I could walk, you know, to Niagara Falls, and everyone's cheering for him, and he's doing it with the pole at first, and then he's walking without the pole, and then, like, everyone's clapping for him, and then he says to the crowd, hey, guys, do you guys have trust in me? Do you have faith in me that I could carry one of you across? And so at that point, everyone's like, no, I don't know. Because no one wants to be in that wheelbarrow. Amen? But it's sort of a funny picture, but that's the picture of God, where faith is we entrust our lives, our whole lives, our future, our decisions, our everything, our hearts to the Lord. Sometimes you're a Christian. You might be sitting there and you're a Christian, but you never gave your heart to the Lord. And so faith is crucial in matters of life and death. What's the other thing that he didn't lose? Can anyone guess? That was the easy answer. Anybody? Okay, let's see it. He never let go of God's promise. God promised him that he would be king. Everyone, can you help me read 1 Samuel 16:13 on the count of three? One, two, nice and loud. One, two, three, go. First Samuel 23:17. One, two, three, go. You guys sound a little sad when you read. Okay. Don't be afraid, he said. My father Saul will not lay a hand on you. You will be king over Israel, and I will be second to you. Even my father Saul knows this. So, this is the same picture that we see in Joseph's life, where his life is going like down and down and down, where Joseph in Genesis, he's sold as a slave, he's hated by his brothers, he goes into Potiphar's first household, and he does everything like what Potiphar's saying, and then he gets accused of some sexual sin, and then he gets put in prison. And what Joseph does is that he never wavers in his faith. He holds on to the promises of God. And some of you, you're sitting there and you're wondering, when is the breakthrough coming? When is this thing that I'm struggling with, when is it going to be over? When is my promise going to be fulfilled? When are my dreams going to come to pass? And all these things in your life, they're swirling, and you're like wondering, no, you're going the opposite direction of God's promises. And God's saying, wait a minute, I'm faithful. No matter what you see in the physical realm, in the spiritual realm, my word is truth. So this is what David does. Okay, can you guys read with power on the count of three? Ready? One, two, three, go. Of Jezreel and Abigail. That's the answer. This is the secret of the Christian life. The word zigzag means measured and pressed down or winding. It's sort of like the same word as Gethsemane. Gethsemane, the word means olive press. And if you remember Jesus at the cross, in the Garden of Gethsemane, sorry, and he was sweating tears of blood, you remember that? And he's like being pressed by what he's going to be doing. And in zigzag, it's almost the same thing. David is pressed. And when you're pressed, your true self comes out. And you respond exactly the way you usually respond. And when David loses everything, the confidence of his men, they're about to take stones and kill him. Wives, everything, all gone. David finds strength in the Lord. In other versions of the Bible, that word means to encourage. And David, throughout his life, what he does is, he's always turning to the Lord. See, it's nothing new for him. In the worst case scenario, in the best scenario, best case scenario, he like encourages himself. And there's this one passage he says in Psalms, "Oh my soul, why so downcast? Put your hope in the Lord." And what that strengthening of the Lord means is that in that everyday process, in your daily life, you're meeting with God and you're strengthening yourself. And this is exactly what it means. You're looking in the past of all the ways that God has delivered you from all sorts of things, everything under the sun. And when you're looking in the past to all the ways that God has helped you, God has delivered you, it gives you confidence to face the future. Let's see what we got, else we got. Here we go. Okay, so in the beginning, I asked the audience, are you more of a thinker or are you a feeler? And growing up, I was a very emotional guy, okay? Growing up, grew up in Oakland, and went to church at a really young age. My dad was kind of distant, and my mom was working all this, so I didn't have the security. I actually had a lot of low self-esteem. And so for some unknown reason, emotional, like one time, I'll just tell you a quick story. One time, in second, third grade, this big guy wanted the ball. And I said, no. And he just started wailing on me. I don't know what happened. And I was crying and crying and crying. And it was a bad scene. I went to the principal's office, and I couldn't stop crying. I just couldn't control myself. I guess I was so hurt. And I made a vow to myself never to cry like that again. But still, I was still really emotional growing up. And I also, this is the mistake I did. I looked down on people that were logical. Can I get an amen? If you kind of associate with what I'm saying. And so sometimes when we are either more logical or we're more feeling, we'll look down on the other type of personality, okay? And so the Bible, thank you. And the Bible is saying, hey, this is the biblical response. See, if I was put in that situation where I lost everything, I would be going crazy. Maybe I would be mad at God. It's like, God, why are you doing this? I don't understand. Maybe it's just like a raw yell. But the biblical example is not to put a dichotomy between the mind and feelings. Because in our personalities, God created our mind, our feelings, and our will is together. And David and Jesus shows us exactly how to respond to Christ's situation. You remember the cross? Remember how Jesus was, he's sweating like blood? And what is he, what, do you guys remember what Jesus is saying? He's saying, if it's your will, Lord, I don't want this. But not my will. He uses his mind and says, but your will be done. Do you see the full-on balance of Jesus and David? In the question that I asked you guys earlier, I asked you, are you one or the other? And actually, we see that it's a balance, right? And then I asked you, are men more emotional or women, right? And the biblical answer is, we're all emotional. And some of us are more logical, and that's okay. But when we use it together and we offer God our emotions, there's healing in the things that we go through. When we strengthen ourselves in the Lord and we're facing crisis situations or just whatever situations in life, day by day we're facing things and we're able to not to react and to be over emotional, but to be balanced in our daily Christian living, then God will totally use our lives to be an example to others in a world where there's chaos left and right. As I'm sure you're aware that recently you've seen shootings, you've seen fires, you've seen hurricanes. And while we're connecting the dots between what we read in the Bible and what we're seeing and God is telling us, hey, be watchmen, check these things out. What's going on? The Bible has all the answers. The Bible is saying to us, hey, this is what's up, VOH. I want you to be a praying church. I want you to be a praying church. I want you to be a house of prayer to the nations. I want you to strengthen yourself in the Lord and don't react to the physical things that happen to you, but receive your strength daily from me and you will not be shaken. Because as the kingdom of God comes more and influences our lives and what we read in the Bible, God's word, and what we see, what's happening, it's very easy to be fearful. And as Evangeline read that passage earlier during worship, the waves are just totally, and Jesus is totally calm. Because inside Jesus, he's at peace. But the storm is raging, and what Jesus wants us to do is hold on to his heart. He wants us to hold on to his heart and let that peace, when we're connected with the God, the shalom of God comes into our lives. And even though everything is chaotic outside, inside, we're like solid rock. And we're not able to be moved. I tell you that. Why? Because things are going down. Things are going to happen to us. For instance, the rock team. Some of the people weren't able to go. They want to do God's will, but like the outside saying, oh, borders closed, no airplanes from Turkey to Erbil, whatnot. Long story short is this. Before you face other crises in your life, this week, today, make a decision to strengthen yourself in the Lord. Let's close in a word of prayer. I'd just like to invite the worship team to come up. As I'm speaking to a lot of you, what we realize as a church that we want to pray for all of you more. We want to pray for each other. We want to lift each other up. We want to encourage each other to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. And it takes practice. Jesus wasn't Jesus, when he grew up, he grew in wisdom and in stature. David, it took years and years of him going through trial after trial, God doing things in his life, and he defeated one obstacle after another. Faith is about stretching your muscles, faith muscles, each day so that you become strong in your faith. And God is looking for a church that's able to flex their faith muscles so that when they call us to Iraq, when they call us to help with these disasters that might be happening, we will not be shaken. And there's things that are coming to test your faith so that you could be stronger. And the Lord is looking for men and women who would take up that challenge. Will you be the one that spends hours in prayer? Will you be the one who leads your coworkers to Christ? Will you be the one who leads your grandfather or grandmother to Christ? Will you be the one who never stops praying for the salvation of your own parents? Heavenly Father, I ask in Jesus' name that you take VOH to the next level. Teach us the lessons of faith. Teach us, Lord God, to overcome and daily get with you. Help us, Lord, to be passionate about with the things that you're passionate about. May we, as a church, worship you like never before. Because when we do that, our problems become smaller and you become bigger in our lives. Help us to keep our eyes focused on you. We praise you in Jesus' name.